Hello, hello, hello. This is the Family Cast. Yes, so on and so forth. No intro music today for this one because it's a special one. It's actually a recast of the Family Cast. Food and Music is Life. Yes, I am Chef Josh. I'm the host. Today we're throwing it back. This is a redo, I'm republishing this one because something big just happened. Something huge, something happy, something sad, and it was all the same thing. My man, Cameron Collins, is the promoter of NoFX. He does Punk and Drublic Festival, Brouhaha Productions, a bunch of other stuff in Orange County, California, and now all over the country, and now all over the world with NoFX and with Punk and Drublic Festival, and so on and so forth. He was a guest on this show way back at the beginning days of the show, and namely, episode 2. So one of the first few episodes I had him on, and I just decided to redo this one because something rad just happened in San Diego. Something sad and rad at the same time. NoFX, that's N-O-F-X, if for those of you who don't know, is a band who has been instrumentally huge in my life, my musical career, throughout since I was like in high school and up until now even. Say what you will about them, say what you will about the members or whatever. I don't care what you say. They've been around with me for my whole musical journey into the punk rock world, or sometimes they call themselves melodic hardcore. I don't really care. They've just been a good band for me in my life. Taught me some good things, taught me some bad things. And they played their last show ever in San Diego. At least that's what they're calling it. So they did their last tour. It was just this past weekend. And I had tickets to go, and I was gonna rage. I knew most of the people in the audience out of the 10, 20,000 people who were there. I probably knew every single person there somehow because we've been to all the shows together and whatnot. And it's their last one. And I ended up having to miss it because I had to do a wedding. And ironically, the wedding was like 2 blocks away from the show, so I could hear the show. So that was even more torturous. But oh well. I have to bow down to the fact that I saw them recently, twice, at different Punk and Drublic festivals, because, you know, through the homie Cameron, got tickets, so that was cool. But of course, I would have also rather have seen them in San Diego, in my hometown, but that's okay. I digress. What I'm getting at is, it's over for NoFX in San Diego. But it's not over for Cameron and promotions and doing all the stuff that he does with festivals and everything that he's doing with beer and music and all that kind of stuff. All the stuff that I enjoy doing as a chef, he's doing in the festival form. So that's really, really cool, right? But I can't be too whiny. I still have a lot of concerts on my calendar to go to. Lots of hardcore and punk shows, lots of stuff. I'm starting to take my kids to shows and stuff like that. So I'm just going to recast this one. So you might hear some stuff that's already outdated or old or whatever. Forgive that. But this is old, you know? But if you want to hear new episodes, I got some new interviews in the works right now, new playlists and stuff like that. So stay in touch. You know, everything's on Famicast. Everything's on Instagram.com/TheFamilyCast. You can always email me at famcastpod@gmail.com. And I might even play some new music after this episode is over because I'm good like that, right? Or old music. Who knows? Oh, maybe some NoFX. Ooh, okay. Anyways, yeah, so I'm going to get into the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to share and subscribe. Again, this is not a brand new episode, but I'm playing it because Cameron is an old friend and one of the oldest episodes on here, and they just did that show in San Diego. So cheers to you, NoFX. Cheers to you, Cameron. Thanks for bringing him to San Diego. I'm sure I got a bunch of videos and texts from everyone saying this is awesome. So it was probably awesome. And of course, there was a bunch of other bands too, which were rad. Anyways, check it out. Here comes the episode with Cameron Collins from Brouhaha Productions, promoter of NoFX. And yeah, so enjoy. Talk to you soon. Let's dig in. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. When you test this microphone...
Yo,
Cameron,
what up?
You did it.
I did. I clicked on a link.
You're so tech savvy.
I'm getting with it. Next week we learn how to leave voicemails.
What's a voicemail? Just kidding. Yeah. I know. I love it.
It's like a text message, but you use your mouth instead of your fingers.
Oh, okay, got it. So like, that sounds like smartphone-ish stuff. So
yeah,
still working my way up. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's not good. It sucks. Being in the event business sucks.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Now we're getting somewhere.
All we freaking do is sit here. Like, I was just on the phone with one of my other guys, Josh, that like, he's my GM. And I just like, oh my God, like, I don't know how to plan. I don't know what to do right now. Like, what do we do to like, I don't even know, like to plan these shows. Like, how do you make offers to bands? How do we do this when we have no freaking clue if we're going to be able to do this or not?
Exactly.
I've got holds and like venues want deposits and they're being very, like very strict on deposits now because like everything got canceled last year. So totally understandable. Yeah. But anyway, it's just like, oh, dude, it's so hard right now. It sucks to like be in that side of the business. Last show we did was February of 2020, which was like a super small show called Lagerfest. But anyway, yeah, it was the last show we did. Really, the last big show was Punk and Drublic in Sacramento in 2019 in October. So like,
okay.
That was like kind of our last like real big, like music, beer, all in festival. It's been a long time. Somebody asked me that yesterday. Like, what was the last concert you were at? I'm like, I don't know, dude.
I know you're back pretty far.
Yeah. It's like, it's so far now that I can't remember. Everything's kind of like meshed into one thing. It's funny, like just talking to some of our dudes, like, I don't think I remember how to do this. Like, I gotta like stumble through this for a minute. Like, it's been so long. It's funny.
Back to square one.
I'm a festival promoter who got my start in doing beer festivals originally, and still obviously do. We started in 2010 was our first festival. We started planning in 2009 with the OC Brouhaha in Orange County. And we did it just totally for fun, like without any idea of what it might become someday. It was just kind of like, there's no good festivals in Orange County. We have to go to San Diego every time we want something good. Like,
right.
Why is that? Like, we have breweries. I'm not saying they're great, but like we have breweries. Like, why can't we have our own beer festivals?
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time it was like what existed. There was, you know, BJ's, you know, and like, you know, stuff like JT Schmitz was around, which not taking anything from them, but like very different than what like exists now in Orange County.
Right. Right.
So we went on probably like 2007, 2008, just kept saying like, well, when are we going to do something? Someone's got to do something. Like, why doesn't it happen? And like me and my wife and like my in-laws were sitting there one night and like, I was just talking to him. We were at like OG's, which was like one of the only places that brewed beer in like Orange County at the time. And we were like, no one's going to do this. Let's just do it. Do you want to do it? Let's just do it. And like my mother-in-law was like, I mean, yeah, let's just do one. Who cares? I'm like, yeah. So we did, and it was like a family affair, like, and, you know, she and I kind of like led everything, Carrie and I, and, anyway, so we did stuff for like 2 years and like our first event was like 1,000 people and like, couldn't believe that we got 1,000 people.
That's awesome.
It was unreal. That's awesome. Like, how did we do that? Like, I was literally going like to the breweries every day and like just standing there trying to sell tickets to people and like wheeling and dealing, like, if you buy 2 tickets, I'll give you this shirt. Like, you know, it's like, but it's not even a Brouhaha shirt. I'm like, I know it's the one I'm wearing, but it's great. You can have it. Just buy a ticket, please. Like anything. No, but I was just like,
that's punk rock.
Doing whatever I could. And, it grew. And then we went on from there. And like, the next event that we launched was Brouhoho, 2 years later, which is our Holiday Ale Festival, which has like kind of become like the Orange County, like craft beer Christmas party.
Love it. Love it.
It's fun. You know,
who came up with those names?
I did.
I like it, like Brouhaha, Brouhoho. Everything is kind of revolved around the brew.
We got a bunch,
right?
Yeah, I mean, we started venturing out because we ran out of things that like went with brew. But we have the Brouhaha, the Brouhoho. Then we later ended up with the Brouhiha, which is at the OC Fair opening weekend. Okay. And the whole idea was like hee-haw, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. So we did that, and we've done that for years too. But yeah, so went Brouhoho, and then right after Brouhoho came Sabroso, actually, which we started doing, which was our craft beer taco festival, which ended up later becoming like this like behemoth of an event.
I love that one.
You know, it started, it was like 1,000 people, and then it was like 2,000 people, and then it was like 12,000 people.
Yes.
Because we moved it to Dana Point. We used to do it out at Oak Canyon, and we partnered up with another production company that like ripped at doing all the larger production, where we were just kind of like, doing mostly beer events. We had entertainment, but not at that scale.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we did that and brought the Offspring in, and like they started headlining for years. And like, you know, like I think the last one we did had like the Offspring, Descendants, Flogging Molly. It was 2 days. Yeah. It was like everybody was on it.
Amazing.
It was incredible. And I think that was 14,000 people. And it was rad. I mean, we did that and then COVID, and then now it's all over. Just kidding.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I mean, we've done some cool stuff.
Did you always have music at the festivals? Like, I mean, there's usually like some music, but did you always have like a pairing in mind? Like these big bands with these brewery fests and stuff like that. Like how did that come about?
No, not really. Like we had music, but it was just like, it was an afterthought. It was a beer festival when we first started.
Right.
And then like, I don't know what year it was, 2010. So probably 2014. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like the year that changed everything. And really like, you know, I was working like two jobs, like no big deal, but, I had this idea, like, you know, it would be amazing if we could get like Real Big Fish to play. They're an Orange County band. Like, mm-hmm. can you imagine? And like, anyway, we ended up reaching out and dealing with their management, and they were like, well, here's what, you know, it would go for. I'm like, dude, I don't have that kind of money. Are you joking? Like, this is a little beer festival. And they were like, we really want to do it though, 'cause they're just rad dudes and
yeah.
they like beer a lot. And like, I mean, half their songs are about beer. So they were like, yeah, here's the deal. Like we'll work with you, you know, whatever. 'Cause we just really want to play it. And so they did. And it was like absolutely amazing. We got Red Bull to come on and sponsor it, provided us our stage and sound.
Nice.
Which was amazing to not have that expense. And then, that year I got Greg Cook to speak, 'cause we'd always have speakers. So Greg Cook, you know, CEO or former CEO, I guess, of Stone Brewing and founder. Mm-hmm. And then we also got David Walker, from Firestone Walker, both to speak. So we had this like incredible lineup of speakers. We had, Dr. Bill was at Stone at the time as well. Mm-hmm. We had, Preston Wiesner come down from Cascade, and he spoke, and like,
wow.
he brought down all these Cascade beers, which like nobody got Cascade beers in 2014 in Orange County. And, it was absolutely amazing. We had Greg Cook go up on stage and introduce Real Big Fish with a guitar that we had branded for Brouhaha and like play with them like for their first song. And like, it was pretty fun, but it was totally epic. And
that's cool.
That's where I got the taste. And I was like, we got to have music at everything we do now. Like, and we need to really up our game on this.
That's awesome.
So yeah. So we did that. So yeah, I mean, it was, that's what it was for many years. And then now like, here we are, we're like, we were doing festivals all over the country, partnered up with Fat Mike from NoFX, with Punk and Jublik, for which was like an idea I had, like drinking whiskey and smoking cigars late one night.
Yeah. That'll do that.
And yeah. So yeah. And then just whatever, I don't know. We've done shows all over the country now. Like I've done shows in, you know, Massachusetts and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Like I did shows in Philly and Pittsburgh when I'd never even been to Philly or Pittsburgh. It was the first time I ever went there. Like, we did shows all over Richmond, Virginia. I'd never even been to Richmond, but like we did a show there. Like,
yeah, it's pretty gutsy.
Yeah. Bond Secures Redskins, like stadium where they like do all their practice. It was like, what are we doing? This is insane, but let's do it.
and this all came after you did the first Punk and Jublik festival, right?
Well, that was the tour. Yeah.
That
kind of took us all over. We did tour like Sabroso a little bit. We do like five or six cities. We toured, Scallywag a little bit, which started in San Diego. That was a San Diego event.
I remember that. That was a 91X event.
Yep. Exactly.
It's awesome.
I don't know.
So what's
weird
with like, the Punk and Jublik, was that an idea? I know that you did some brewing with Greg and Mike at Stone on that, right? On that beer.
Yeah.
Did that come after the festivals were happening, or how did that, which was first on that one, the beer or the music fest, or I know the record was obviously the first
thing. Yeah. So the music festival first, like first, the whole thing, like I said, came from an idea of like drinking whiskey and smoking cigars and having this idea. Like I was listening to NoFX. I'm like, it's like, dude, you know, it'd be amazing. Like sitting with my buddy, like, what if we could get like NoFX to do this show with the beer thing, and we could call it Punk and Jublik, like their album, like it would be amazing. Great idea. Love it. So we go and we get a hold of their manager at the time. And we're like, this is this great idea. He goes, I love the idea. And he goes and pitches it to Mike. And the idea originally was 21 and older. Mm-hmm. So no kids, 21 bands, 21 beers.
Oh, wow.
And everything was all around 21. And so he goes and he's like, this is a great idea. He pitches it to Fat Mike, and Fat Mike says, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. I hate it. We're like, rad. All right, never mind. But we had Scallywag coming up, That was like a few months off, and they were headlining. It was, you know, them and Bad Religion, and Real Big Fish was on that one as well, actually, ironically. I don't know, a bunch of bands. And that was at the time going to be the biggest show I'd ever done.
It was pretty big.
Yeah. And we had done an event in Orange County that was called Cali Uncorked, which was cool. That was like a 5,000 person show. Mm-hmm. And we did it with that other production company. And which, like, I've made so many friends with, like, all the people that worked for them over the years. It's been amazing. But anyway, so we did that, and the 91X was actually there. Like, they had come up to the show, and they're like, hey, we want to do something like this with you guys. What could we do? And we were originally going to do a reggae show, and then it was like, wait a minute, let's do a punk rock show. And 91X, being 91X, was like, sure.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Hold on, my dog's barking. This is weird.
Hold on. Hey, doggy.
So 91X came down to or came up and was wanted to do it. Anyway, like I said, it was going to be reggae, and then it ended up being this like punk thing. And it was absolutely amazing. And that was actually a really cool thing for me. Like, we were staying at this hotel down there right in front of the Star of India. Mm-hmm. Cause we did it down there at Waterfront Park.
Yep.
And there's all these people walking around like with like British accents and like these French guys and whatever. And I'm like, these guys are like punk rockers. Like, what? With British accents. Like, why? Hey man, like, what are you doing here? And they're like, you know, oh, we came for the show, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, from England? They're like, yeah, like, oh, it's great. Of course. We flew in. I'm like, wait, whoa, whoa. You flew from Europe to come to my show? Like, it was the craziest thing ever.
Well, it was an amazing show. And there were a lot of them.
What's that?
It was such an amazing lineup, and the idea, yeah. Like the design, and like just the whole, like the theme, you know, with the, I remember the octopus, poster, octopus style poster. It was just a really good, refreshing way to do a concert in San Diego, I think.
For sure. So NoFX played it, and like Mike saw it and like came back, like, I don't know, 4 days after. Mm-hmm. We get a call from his manager, and he's like, Mike said that was one of the most amazing events he's ever seen, and he's totally in to do that other show, but no 21 bands. He hates the idea. He wants to have 5 or 6 bands max. Uh-huh. So that's the thing. I'm like, all right, like okay, let's try it.
Whatever Fat Mike wants.
One, and it ended up being many.
Mm-hmm. That's cool, man. And then you got Greg on board to do the beer with them. How does it work with getting a beer sponsorship for this kind of thing? I mean, not a sponsorship, but making a beer.
Oh yeah, sorry. I'm like way off track. So the idea was we were going to do the show, and then I was like, I wonder if we could get a beer put together. And again, this is kind of like in our heyday of like, we were coming up, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We had finally done, or not finally, like we never even planned on doing big shows, but like I left my day job. We had had a lot of really successful events, and I was like swinging for the fences. Like, I'm going to just call Greg Cook and see if he would do a beer with us. Can you imagine if we could do our own beer with Stone and NoFX? Like,
there you go.
Yeah, so I just like called Greg. It took about 7 calls to finally like get a hold of him and get him to call me back. And I want to say he was like in Europe when he called me, and he's like, "Hey, what's going on? Like, what are you thinking? What are you trying to do?
Why are you calling?"
And, yeah, and how did you get my number?
Okay.
Like he's like, "I actually really like this. Let me go back to my team." And
is he a punk rocker?
Greg?
Yeah,
I think he appreciates punk rock. I think he likes metal. Like, he loves like that, like hard rock metal kind
of
thing.
That's what he looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think he went back and talked to everybody at like Stone, and they're like, are you kidding? Like, NoFX would be freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hit me back, and they were like, let's talk it through. And we met, like, you know, big boardroom lawyers there, like all this stuff, and like had this big meeting, and we'll get back to you. We'll see, you know, we'll all discuss internally, and everyone's got representatives there and like all this stuff. And Fat Mike's down there. He wanted to go. So he came, and Eric Melvin came. And anyway, afterwards, they're like, their marketing director, who's no longer with them. But anyway, the new marketing director, this other guy, David Pierce, he's there. A couple other guys. And they're like, let's go up to the bistro and like have some beers and some lunch or whatever. Like, great. So we went up, and it was amazing because like now there was no like corporate side. There was no attorneys. There was nothing. It was just like some dudes sitting there having beers, and we're like, look, here's what it's going to take. Here's what we'll do. well, just let's go in equal on this. Like, we're going to literally, the beer is going to be as important to this brand as the brand's going to be in the festival to that beer.
Right.
Can we just all agree to, like, we're all going to work our asses off and make this thing a success? And we were like, hell yeah, after a few beers, and the deal was done. Like, what, which is always better, right? Like, if you can just sit and hang out with some dudes and have some beers, like,
in beautiful Escondido.
Right. Right. It's just, it's better. So anyway, it worked out and it was great and everything was fantastic.
Did you go for Stone because they were so big, or I mean, instead of like, say, like any of the Orange County brews, or how did that, why Stone?
Well, I mean, for a lot of reasons. One, yeah, Stone's big. Stone was super influential kind of in like my journey into craft beer. I have a lot of respect for Stone. Stone's whole idea, you know, especially like in the earlier days there, like a few years ago, was like, they were very kind of rebellious, which is
for sure
kind of,
still are.
Yeah. And still are. And like, it just, the fit felt really right to me. And then also, like I said, I was kind of like swinging for the fences. Like, if we're going to go do this thing, and we're going to do, I think we did seven cities the first year, but we're going to do a tour that's got seven cities across the US where we're going into all these other states. We need someone that's got distribution. True. So that the beer can actually reach these people.
Good thinking.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where it all came. And I had done collaborations for my events with smaller breweries. That didn't, but it, again, I didn't need any distribution really, cause we were only trying to focus on like our event area.
Orange
County. But I mean, I've done collaborations with shit. I don't even know, like Rip Brewing, Stone, Green Flash, L Smith, Bottle Logic, like Noble, Bootleggers, Beachwood multiple times, Pizza Port multiple times. Like, I've done a ton of different collabs. But that was by far the biggest. I mean, we did, I guess I shouldn't say how many barrels, but like an insane amount of beer. Like, more beer. We did more beer with Punk and Drublick almost than any brewery in Orange County produces of all of their beer in a year.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was their number one selling new beer and the most hype they'd had around a new product in 5 years.
And it's a really good lager too.
Yeah, and it's good. It was like a good hoppy lager. Like, had Humelin hops in it, Magnum, which is in like almost every Stone beer. It was great. It was crisp. It was very like traditional German style, but a little like more aggressively hopped. And it was fantastic. And people dug it. And that was the whole thing too. Like, let's do an IPA. Makes sense with Stone, except for like, no, we're doing a punk festival. Like, we want this to be available at the events. We don't want people shit-faced. So exactly. Like, let's brew a beer that's going to be able to be drank all day. So that was kind of like the whole idea. And we met with like Jeremy Moynier down there, who's like one of the head brewers at Stone. And I think he's like the third employee they ever hired. And he like totally got it. Like,
I love
like,
it.
I'm with you. Like, this is exactly where my head was at. I love it. It was cool. Yeah.
That's a good way to do it. That's an excellent, like, this is exactly what like I try to do with, you know, I mean, I've just always wanted to do that same thing with food and music and beverage festivals together. Like, I don't think that, I always hate it when the food is an afterthought. It's like tucked way back in the corner or something like that.
Yeah.
I know that at your festivals, the food's like it's like right in the middle, kind of like at least at the Waterfront Park, it's, you know, it's very accessible all around and stuff like Absolutely. That. It's not just like, oh, walk 3 miles down, turn the corner, you know, the food and the beer gardens over there or whatever.
But totally.
It's like, well, definitely always in the mix.
That was something that was always really big for us. Like, the festival was as much around like the whole like food and beverage experience as it was around the music. So like, did you ever go to a Sabroso?
I actually didn't.
Well,
I didn't go. Those are the ones that I wanted to go to the most, and I couldn't make it up.
Those were incredible. We would have like, I mean, taco vendors everywhere. Right. Like,
I know, I love that.
Taco vendors doing like three different types of tacos each.
I love that it was based around tacos and hot sauce too, and wrestling. You know, the whole culture of the border town. You know, like,
totally.
It was such a good thing.
Yep, something like it will come back. I don't know that Sabroso will come back. I've got some other concepts that are very similar that we may release. But again, like I said, like, what a shitty time to be in like the live event space right now.
Definitely.
Like, I don't know.
What you talked to like Neva or anything like that about anything, or is that,
are you to who?
Like the, you know, National Independent Venue Association or.
Oh, funding. No, not really. Like, we kind of keep an eye on it. Stormy Shepherd from Leave Home Booking, yeah. You know, like she's super involved with all that. And I talked to her a lot about it. Like,
okay.
The problem is just like, nobody knows anything.
No,
you know what I mean, nobody knows. I talk to people from Live Nation all the time. I talk to people from AEG all the time. Like, Danny Wimmer Presents, like we're talking about doing stuff with them, like another gigantic independent promoter. Like nobody knows anything. Like right. We're all just like guessing kind of. And it's such a weird thing to like, you know, do, but like a lot of the bands are like, well, I don't know if we should be taking offers and accepting offers, you know, like mm-hmm. you know, things are going to get canceled and you know, this and that. I'm like, look, you've got to make plans. That's all we can do right now is make plans. And we know that they can change, but if we don't make plans, we're going to be left with nothing. There's going to be nothing there. Like we have to have them, you know?
Exactly.
So let's plan. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat on the food side, you know, event yeah. side, food event side is like, we're just getting postponed and pushed back and what kind of plans can we make and stick with, or so we pivot, right? Like,
yeah.
I know that you pivoted into something new that I want to get to, but how did, like, music wise, like punk wise, like how did this call come about in your life, like going from your other jobs into doing, you know, Brouhaha and stuff like that? Like how did punk rock shape you into moving from your jobs into just living your dream?
Well, I mean, I like always loved punk rock. Like when I was a little kid, I loved punk rock. Like I grew up in 78, so like I was born in 78 and grew up, you know, kind of in like the 80s, 90s. Mm-hmm. And like punk was very prevalent. I was a little skate rock kid that listened to, you know, mm-hmm. all the old school stuff, like all the Bad Religion stuff, but like loved all the even older stuff, like Johnny Thunders and the New York Dolls and like all that kind of stuff. Like it's just always been something I've really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And
is that because you're like, are you a high energy person in general, or like how does you know, how did you get to like be liking New York Dolls when you're a young Orange County punk rocker? Or
I don't know. I mean, I think just the people that I hung around, like I hung around with a lot of like skater kids that were a little older. Mm-hmm. There was that. I mean, I have two older sisters that like weren't really into punk, but more like the new wave stuff. So I was exposed kind of to like music young, you know, like my oldest sister is like 8 years older than me. So like listening like The Cure and like Depeche Mode and all that kind of stuff. Like Depeche Mode and The Cure were like the first two albums I ever owned. Mm-hmm. And then like from there, I think my third was like The Ramones.
Nice. Good collection right there.
Yeah. So I just always have kind of done that. You know, I played in punk bands that were crappy when I was in high school, but like played in punk bands.
And we all like, did that. That was a rite of passage, right? Like,
yeah, you were more successful at it than I was. But, you know, it's funny. I was talking to one of my friends the other day. I was like, you know, the thing with like playing in punk bands is like, you're a punk rocker that really wants to be in a band, so you join. Whereas in metal, the difference is you're a musician that's like, I don't know where to fit. Oh, okay, here, I know how to play. I'll be in a metal band.
Yeah, they're all groupers,
right?
Yeah.
I didn't know how to play, but like I learned and figured out by playing with my friends and like,
You know,
again, we were awful, but it was fun.
You got to have some stinkers in there. You know, you got to do. Right. I always tell my kids, like, you got to know kind of what bad food tastes like to know what good food tastes like.
For sure. We knew we were bad. And we knew we were bad. We didn't care. That's not what it was about. We were having a great time. Like,
exactly.
You know, but yeah, we would go to shows. Like we were going out to Showcase like every weekend and going to as many shows as we could go to and having a good time. And I never really like changed. You know what I mean? Like what's that?
It sticks with you.
For sure.
Like, especially if you're doing it like at the end of, you know, your formative years, high school and right after, that's going to stay with you for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Like, it just kind of came natural. It's what I know. So like, what are you going to do? You're going to stick to what you know, especially if you're building something or like being an entrepreneur. You don't wake up and go like, you know what? Like me, I think I'm going to whatever. I'm going to be a chef. I don't cook. Like, why would I be a chef?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's something that like you were into when you were coming up and you just kind of got more into and whatever. And so, you know it and you stay with it and whatever. With me, that's kind of like what like punk rock music was. Like, it's what I know. It's familiar. And it just came natural. So, and I've done all sorts of events, you know that, like I've done like reggae events. And,
oh yeah.
You
know, it's not like, but it's a punk rock mentality. I think the way you do it,
for sure.
Cause I like all genres of music, but the punk rock, the DIY ethic and stuff like that, you know, but it's also not so much DIY that you're not going to partner with the bigger production company to get the people you want there, you know. It's smart.
Well, for sure. And like, you know your strengths. Like everybody, like not, I won't say everybody thinks. A lot of people just assume like, oh, like whose event is it? Like what's the production company? Like Live Nation doesn't like produce all of their events. They bring in other production companies. Right. They do all stuff. Like it's not DIY to bring in partners and like people to help do things where they're better or stronger in certain areas than you are.
No, you need that.
That's, yeah, you need it. And that's like what we do. And that's what everybody does. Like I've worked with tons of different companies that have brought me in just to literally bring in like the beer element because mm-hmm. they don't understand it. They don't know how to do it. They don't right. know how to get licenses, volunteers. Like they don't understand like what the process is, how much to budget, like all that kind of stuff. So right. we've worked with tons of large companies to bring in those types of elements. Like we did Knotfest 1 year. Like how weird is that? It was Ozfest meets Knotfest.
Okay.
And like Sharon Osbourne really wanted to have like heavy metal, whatever, like brands of beer. And so anyway, I get brought onto this phone call. Like, can you come out to like Glen Helen and like do Ozfest meets Knotfest and bring in a whole like beer mentality? And we had like this big like goat's head pentagram thing above the bar. And like, it was just like, what is happening right now? But it was cool.
So tell me about what kind of food and beverage did you have at that one? Like what's heavy metal beer? Budweiser.
That was years ago. I got to think. I know we had.
I mean, do you work with big brands like Anheuser-Busch?
No, absolutely not. I never do.
Okay.
Ever. Everything we do is independent.
Okay.
Or we try to be. Like there was a time that like I got a lot of heat for having Ballast Point, but like we'd had a relationship with Ballast Point.
Right.
All the reps from Ballast Point and all the people from Ballast Point
prior to the sale. It's
a hard one for me to like just say now you're out. You know what I mean? And whatever, but like right. for the most part, I would say 99% of everything we do like is exclusively like craft. So like okay. I know, you know, one beer I remember we obviously had like the Phantom Bride Deftones Belching Beaver beer was one of them.
Yeah.
We had there's a Three Weavers beer. I can't think of the name of it. It was like Blood Junkie or Blood something. I suck. I can't remember names.
It's okay. You work with a lot of the beers.
Yeah.
Are you involved?
But anyway, yeah. Like it was all, we had a bunch. Like it was cool.
Yeah.
I think we had Iron Maiden's Trooper. We had, I don't know, a bunch of different beers, but it was cool.
The Megadeth, Vin Dumont.
I don't know if we had that one.
I don't think they had it out yet.
They may have. It's been around for a while, but I don't know if we had that now that I'm thinking about it. Who is that? That's that Canadian company.
It's a Vin Dumont. Let's see. Oh. Now I'm blanking on it too because I get so enraptured in the labeling itself. Like the, for example, like you said, the Deftones Phantom Bride beer. It's a almost like it's the Deftones beer, and then Belching Beaver is like kind of, you know, lesser on there. In you know, as far as from the a musical fan standpoint, they might not know Belching Beaver or whatever, but they know the Deftones. But
yeah, right.
So like you said, you called it the Iron Maiden beer. So like you know, you say the kind of the band. Part of it first, and you know, it's just I think that was a question I was wondering about, you know, for a couple of the brewers and stuff like that was how did you brew? Like also like what a random pairing, like how did the Deftones get with Belching Beaver out of all the breweries, you know, blah blah, there's always like random choices and stuff like that to, you know, who does Belching Beaver call Chino and say, hey, we're from Vista, do you want to do a beer? Like I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how that one came to be, but I know that they've got some sort of exclusivity now. Like we're like,
yeah, they just did another one.
They've done that one where they can't do band beers. They can only do them. Cause remember they did for a minute there. I think it was them. Didn't they do the Deftones one? I mean the Deftones, the Descendants one for a minute, or was that McKellar?
McKellar did. And they had a, Chicago. There was one out of Chicago too, with a coffee IPA.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Descendants. I know Belching Beer has done, I think, three of the Deftones beers now.
Yeah.
Which is cool because they're, you know.
Oh, they have an exclusive. They have a contract.
That's
that, like they won't do other bands and that Deftones won't do a beer with anybody else. Because I'd pitched them on another band
doing
something. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. I pitched them about doing another brand for their seltzer line mm-hmm. with another band. And they're like, I don't know if we can do it, to be honest. We'd really have to like go and kind of put our heads together to see. I'm like, well, it's seltzer. It's not exclusive like to beer.
You can sneak around it because it's seltzer.
Yeah. But I don't know. It kind of like fell across. But I've done a bunch like of the band beers. It's funny how many bands have called me over the years to like, can you put together something for us? Like I did that Rancid beer, Brew Stomper with Ska Brewing out of Durango, Colorado.
Great. That's a good pairing right there.
Ska, yeah, it was killer. Ska Brewing, yeah. You didn't really see it in Southern California, but you saw it like in all the states, Ska is strong. Like that's kind of where you saw it. But we did that tour with them called The Bash.
Right. Another
and we did all the beer on that. And like, so I went and just kind of like reached out to Ska and was like, you guys want to do this? And that was the easiest collaboration to put together ever. They were like, oh, yes, please.
No brainer.
Yes.
No
brainer. Like, absolutely. Are you kidding? And like Matt Freeman came out and like Matt and I both went out to Durango for the brew day. I have a video of it. It's online. I'll send it to you. It's pretty cool.
Rad.
But yeah, like he was involved with like brewing the beer and like whatever. And it was fun. It was cool.
That's like a no brainer for the brewery too. Like a band like that big, you know, it's a must do. It's a bucket list thing for probably the breweries that are, especially if you're called Scott Brewing, you already, I mean, you know, this, I don't know if the specials are going to do anything like that, but Rancid's fun.
I don't know if the specials are either. I don't know anybody over in that camp.
I mean, like, you know, like other two-tone ska kind of stuff, but yeah. Rancid, were you involved with that Back to the Beach festival? That ska show at the beach there?
I actually was not involved with that one at all.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, because that was a decently sized big one too, but is that the same spot as the, the Surf City Blitz?
Yes, which I was involved in Surf City Blitz. Yeah. I was the owners in that.
That was amazing. Yeah. Another amazing one. That was on my birthday weekend, I remember. So I was pretty stoked.
Oh yeah. I got you tickets for that, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
I was like, this is way bigger than I expected.
Yeah. That was a giant. On that one, I really like was brought in to kind of just help like manage and make sure that like the food and beverage was like executed well, because okay. It was so big that you could screw that up really easily. You know, oh, what for I mean? Sure. Got that many people out there, but
shutting down a state really, beach, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And did you go to that brew that we did up there?
And what's that?
Did you go to Punk and Brew, which is like our Punk and Drublick, but they wouldn't let us call it that in Huntington? Did you go to that one?
I did not go to that one.
That was epic too. That was so good.
They all sound epic. I need to. They all sound amazing.
Yeah, that one. They wouldn't let us bring it back the following year because like punk too rockers crazy. In Huntington Beach are like just gnarly, and like they were ripping our fences down like on the beach because we're on both. Mm-hmm. I was standing on the stage, like NoFX is playing. I'm standing on the stage in the back, literally just pushing people off the top. They're digging holes under the chain link fence in the sand, falling under backstage, and then climbing up the like truss to get up on the stage from the back. And I'm literally, they'd get up and I'm like, sorry, dude, boom, push them off. Like the stage is just completely getting overrun. Everybody knows somebody and security can't keep them off. Like watch the videos of it. There's like so many freaking people on the stage. We're literally like security panel. We're just pushing people off the back of the stage that are trying to climb up onto it, that are like getting in from the beach. And it was gnarly. But anyway, they were like, yeah, you guys can't come back. We're like, okay.
Shoot. Thanks, punks.
Yeah.
You know, the epitome of punk, like punk rock people is probably in that area of Orange County, at least like the old school, or at least the ones that came up with all those bands.
For sure.
They were all there and they all wanted to be on stage with their homies.
Yep. And everybody knows everybody, like especially in Huntington Beach. Like everybody's like, oh no, man, like I'm friends with this guy. Well, I know that guy. And everyone's getting nod from everybody. And it's like, dude, that you're not on the list. You don't have the right credentials. We're already way over. You can't come in. And then they just go to talk to somebody else and then somehow get in. It was pretty nuts because just everybody knows everybody.
I remember when I went to Surf City Blitz and I was going up to the will call. I was in line with the Vandals were next to me in line. They were on Bad Religion's guest list. And there was a couple other like band members. They weren't on the bill, but I remember the Vandals ended up playing a couple songs in Bad Religion's set because they were like, yeah, we're on the guest list for Bad Religion. Like they were kind of whispering.
Yeah, yeah.
But how many, you know, tickets would you say that you comp for an event like that? I mean, for example, what's the ratio? There's like what? 20,000 people there, 30,000, I don't know.
Well,
and then you comp
for like, let's talk Punk and Drublick or Punk and Brew, like since that's what I was talking about. That one there in Huntington, I think there was 14,000 officially. There was probably 16,000 with all the people that broke the fence and like came over and snuck in, like, because we were like, it was like a mile long, If you watch the video, if you Google it, like Punk and Brew Huntington Beach, it's a mile long almost, all the way down like Huntington State Beach. There's breweries lined like so far down, like you can't even see them from the stage. It's so far away. So anyway, there's a fence line all the way down. So people were just coming and like literally cutting the fence. And like, we're going through like, well, the fence is open. There's a 6 foot gap in the fence down here and people are walking in. And so,
so you can't keep track of
that. We're trying to, you know what I mean? But like people just literally are coming and cutting the fence everywhere. Like you'd go and you'd zip tie one up and whatever. And by the time you'd come back, it'd be open again. It was gnarly. Like the police were over it. They were like, we're not even going to try and keep people like see them breaking in. We're not even going to try. Like there's nothing we can do. But anyway, so say that we sold 14,000 tickets. There was probably at that event 600 comps.
Okay, that's quite a bit, but also I guess in relation to the amount of people there, that's a lot of comps.
It's a lot, and it could even be a little more than that. I'd have to really think about it, but like you figure you get a band like, let's just say like NoFX in Orange County, they're gonna have 60 people on their guest list.
At least
you get Pennywise in Orange County, they're gonna have 150 to 200 people on their guest list because everybody knows those guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
a hometown show for them. So it just depends on where you go. Like, if you, for example, like we did Sabroso in Salt Lake City and we had The Offspring headlining, I mean, it was a huge show. Strung Out was on it, like a bunch of really great bands, like Pennywise was on it, like. I bet we didn't give 200 comps away.
Because it's Salt Lake City.
It's not their city. They don't know anybody there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess that's a benefit of traveling with it. It's like less of the hometown. Hey, speaking of Pennywise, did they do a beer with somebody?
Yeah, they did. They did it with Lost Coast.
Oh, Lost Coast. Yeah. Mendocino?
What's that?
Like Northern California, yeah, Lost Coast?
Eureka or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they did one with them that was called Pennywiser.
That's a good name. I was thinking somebody should do a brew hymn.
A brew hymn, yeah.
Brew hymn. you could do it with brew haha, whatever.
Yeah, maybe we will.
And then
I've talked to them about doing stuff. So everybody comes to me before they do their deal if they're smart, and after they do their deal if they know they made the wrong deal. Pennywise made an amazing deal.
Absolutely. What's the wrong deal? What does that mean?
Well, it just depends. Like, I mean, like, it's all balance in these collaborations, right? Like, literally the best deal I've ever seen was Pennywise deal. Like, it's the best deal ever. But anyway, typically, like, but there's other people that have had really the wrong deal. It just basically, if you as an artist are that much more powerful than the brewery, where they see you as this opportunity, that like you have the like strength to demand a super high percentage of the sales or whatever of that beer, then great, it's going to get brewed as long as you're promoting it, and then the brewery's getting what they wanted out of it, which was access to your database and followership. But after they feel that they've gotten it, they're going to lose interest and they're going to stop brewing the beer, and they're just not going to do it anymore, because if there's no money in making the beer, they're not going to tie up their tanks with a bunch of unprofitable beer. So then the band's left 6 months later going, well, what the hell happened to all the sales? It was great when we came out with it. It's like they got what they wanted. They got everything from you that they needed, the exposure. And there was no reason for them to continue brewing beer that they don't make any money at. So like a deal has to make sense for everyone, which again is why I've consulted on so many different beers. Like so many, I can't even tell you some of the bands, but like stuff that would trip you out.
That's
like,
fine.
Are you serious?
Secrets.
But
yeah,
I honestly, like pre-2020, I was getting probably two calls a month from various agencies, management and bands. Like, hey, can you help us here? Can you work with us on this? And like,
did that come from Punk and Joblick mainly, you think?
Yeah, it just came from the fact that like we did, you know, probably the largest at the time band collaboration that had released was Punk and Joblick.
Right.
You know, I obviously did the Rancid deal. I consulted on, I don't know, probably another six or seven band deals. Like it kind of becomes known, you know, the one agency, you worked with this artist and can you help us with this one and, you know, whatever. So,
that's awesome.
I kind of like became like a guy to go to when you had like ideas for stuff like that. But
I know, who would have thought, like when you were, you know, skating around Orange County with your I remember, you know, the spiky haircut and listening to New York Dolls. You'd be like a beer and band consultant. Like, what a dream.
Yeah, I definitely would not have seen that coming. I thought I was going to work for my dad because I couldn't figure out what else to do.
What does he do?
He works in the electrical industry, so they're like an agent, which I did do for a while. I worked in the automotive industry for a while, like as like a sales manager, like selling parts like that we were importing from all over the country. I mean, from all over the world, and we had locations all over the country, and we're selling that.
Like Tommy Boy.
What's that?
Tommy
Boy. Yeah, like right. It was all on the phone, actually. We were just calling dealers and doing all that. But anyway, it was like not what I wanted to do. And then like I did work in the electrical industry for a while. I'm like, definitely not what I wanted to do. I worked in the active sports industry for a while. Like, and I did enjoy that. That was great. But like the recession of 2008 kind of took that whole thing out, like with like triathlon and cycling and like all that kind of stuff, like totally went away. So anyway, it just like, this whole thing with like doing like the beer festivals just opened up this like door for me that I was like not expecting, never would have dreamt that I would go into, especially, I mean, it didn't exist when I was a kid, like craft beer, what's that?
Right.
But anyway, yeah, it's been a total blessing. It's been awesome to be able to like do this like for a living. I quit my day job, you know, like a few years ago, and it was like, I can't believe I'm going to do this. Like, is this really going to work? And it did. And like, we were doing so many events. Like I said, I've done over 100 and something festivals now. I think I've done like 112.
Oh, man.
Last time I counted festivals across the nation.
That's amazing. Anything out of the country?
Nothing out of the country for me. Punk and Drublick has gone out of the country, which Mike wanted me to be involved in. And he's like, look, just come and do it with us. It'll be fine. I'm like, Mike, I don't know how to do a festival in Italy. And then the next gate, they'd be doing one in Germany. And then 2 days later, be in like England and then bounce over. And now I'm in like Belgium and then I'm over. They speak different languages. There's different laws. There's like, I don't know anybody there. Like I can't.
Yeah.
He's like, you have to, man, you got to try. I'm like, no, I can't. So anyway.
What a turnaround. Now he's telling you to come with him and do the beer festival. Like, you know, from that first time, he's like, hell no.
Totally.
You know?
Well,
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, Mike and I have become really good friends over the years. Ironically, good. Like he's a very different cat, like very different than me in very many ways. But for some reason, like we've just kind of got along like right from the go. And now we've just kind of been friends and same thing, like all the guys in NoFX, like we've all become friends. Obviously we've spent a lot of time like together out on the road doing shows and, you know, working on stuff, but like, you know, El Jefe, great dude. Eric Melvin, like I love that guy. Like he comes up to my house and brings his kids and we go swimming and we barbecue and we text like
amazing
all the time, like about being dads, like nothing to do with anything that we're doing. We just became friends over the years, and like, which is also makes it so fun. Like that's why I love doing like all the Punk and Drublicks, is like it's just doing it with like my friends now. Like we've all just become
pals, yeah,
you know.
Yeah. In our old age.
In our old age. Like if you would have told me when I was like 17-year-old Cameron, like, hey, so like you're gonna become really good friends with like NoFX, and like you're gonna be doing tours with them all over the country with like beer music and like, trust me, hang in there, it's gonna get fun. I would
that you're in charge of.
Yeah, right.
Man. And then so now I know that you're doing a new venture also. Do you wanna talk about that?
Sure.
We know that it's strange times right now with all everything going on. And then you decided.
Yeah. So like festival business got screwed up with the pandemic. And so you couldn't do live events anymore. So I figured what's better to do in a pandemic than open a restaurant. Cause they seem to be doing really well. The company's called Brad Brought, and it's up in Dana Point, right on PCH, perfect location for it. It's exactly where I wanted it to be when I first initially like envisioned it. It came to me from doing a show that, the whole idea, the concept, doing a show up in Tacoma, Washington. We've done a few up there, which I absolutely love Tacoma. I don't know if you ever,
I love Tacoma.
It's like one of my favorite cities of anywhere I've ever been, which people go Tacoma.
Yeah.
Yes. Tacoma. Yeah. Like
I love
it's
it.
A punk rock city. Like, it's so amazing. It's so blue collar. Like it's everybody there is so nice and awesome. Like the bars are rad and the food's rad and the weather sucks, which makes it rad. And like, just so good. Like everything about Tacoma is so good and bad at the same time. I love it.
They named a truck after it.
Yes, exactly. Is that really why they named it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't. Maybe. I mean, they should.
Could have been.
I really like Tacoma. Yeah, we had a lot of good shows there.
So we did. So we'd done a few shows up there, and like, there's a spot. We were hanging out with this band called the Hilltop Rats, which is a Tacoma band, and they had played one of our shows up there, Punk and Drublick, a couple years prior. Anyway, we're up there doing another show, the Bash with Rancid, and like, I had all the crew guys, and like, guess what? Dinner time. Who buys? I do. So we're like, where do you want to go? Like, we're having beers. They're like, oh, let's go this place. Well, how about pizza? Pizza sounds good. We could just get some pizzas and everybody can eat the pies and beer. It'll not totally break the bank. Anyway, nobody wanted it. And they're like, we got to go to this place called the Red Hot. Anyway, so we went to this place up in Tacoma that was like this like hot dog sausage, like beer bar. And it was like so bad. It was so good. And I was like sitting there having the time of my life with like all our crew dudes. And I looked at them like, I'm going to open something like this in Orange County. Nice. That'd be rad. So anyway, fast forward, like, you know, 6 months later, I'm like hanging out with a buddy of mine, Joe, who's like one of the owners at Docent Brewing. And I was telling him about this concept I want to do. And he opened, he's like, I absolutely love this idea. Like, you know, the whole thing, you know, was like loud music, like song selections that like would make a nun nervous, but we don't care because we're not Catholic, so it's cool. Like, we don't care. Yeah. Like, that's the whole idea with Radbrot. Like, crazy sausages and like tons of beer and like, you know, crazy wild ideas for recipes and stuff like that. And like, anyway, he's like, I'm in, man, if you want a partner. And I was like, you know what? Like, I would like to have a partner. Let's partner up. So anyway, so he and I started looking, and we spent like a year looking. We were probably 6 months into our search. But we were also working on a brewery project with two other amazing individuals, this guy, Dylan Mobley, who's the head brewer at Bottle Logic. And this other guy, Steve Martin, who is an amazing individual, but works in construction. He owns a construction company, but also owns a craft beer bar in Dana Point called Project Social with my other partner, Joe. Anyway, to make it confusing, we went to them because we didn't want to have anything where it was like, hey, I thought we were all working on this project together. Now you guys are going to do some other project. And now it's like, what are we doing? You know, like, whose time is focused on what and whatever. So we're like, let's offer them to be part of it. So we did. They loved the concept, and they were like, we're totally in. And so anyway, the rest is history. Year and a half of looking and finally getting everything done, we're open, and it rips. And we opened in December in the middle of the pandemic. Amazing. If you need any business advice, I'm willing to share all the wonderful ideas what not to do.
But it's working.
It is working. It's surprising. Like yesterday, I'm sitting here watching like some fishing shows, right? And like chilling on the couch, like no big deal. And I'm like, I'm going to check the cameras at Radbrot and see how we're looking over there. I pull up the cameras and I look, and there's literally like a line out the door and down the street, and every inside, outside patio. We have a huge outside patio in the parking lot too, that we built temporarily.
Oh, that helps.
Every seat's taken, and the bar is just getting crushed. And I'm like, oh my God. And I like looked at my wife. I'm like, we got to go over there and help them right now. Like, we got to go. She's like, let's go. And like, we ran over and like, just went and had to like help, because it's been like, now that the weather's a little better, like, cause it was raining the last few days. And like, now that you can now resume like some normalcy of having outdoor dining and whatever, everybody came out of the woodworks. And like, it's been really cool. Cause it's what a crazy time, right? Like, how do you even predict? Like, are we doing well? Are we sucking? Is this because of the pandemic? Is it because it's winter? Is it because of like dry January? Like, why are things slow? Oh wait, no, they're not slow. Now it's really busy. Like, it's such a weird time, but it's been,
I love it,
absolutely amazing and so freaking rewarding to like be part of this team and like put this thing together. And now we're on our next project, which is our brewery. And we're actually like well underway.
What's that all about? Is that something to do with the restaurant?
Yeah. Or? So it's called Rad Beer Co. And our handle will be Get Rad Beer. So like our whole thing is kind of like Get Rad, right?
Love it.
But yeah, Rad Beer Co. There was a brewery that existed that unfortunately they had a great system that they'd put in, but did not survive the pandemic. He had to sell, had to get out, like wasn't going to survive. So we were able to get this amazing deal, something that we like couldn't not do. And we ended up taking over, and we were under construction right now, doing all of our like tenant improvements and getting everything kind of set up the way we want, making some modifications to the brewery. And we will be open in March. Like, we're like in 2 weeks, we're going to look
open.
We're literally
where is that?
Anaheim, between Catella and Ball. on Lewis Street. So like less
Oh,
than a
man,
mile
that's
from Angel Stadium,
prime.
less than a mile from like House of Blues Anaheim and Disneyland.
That's awesome.
Like 6 minute drive from like Green Cheek, like 4 minute drive from Noble. We're just kind of like right there in like that whole like epicenter of breweries. And it's
Dude.
killer. And we've got like an
Yeah.
amazing brewer and partner. So yeah. Our brewer is
That
Dylan.
that's really good news.
Like I said earlier, he's from Bottle Logic and he used to brew at Stone too.
Okay.
And the dude rips. Like his beers are, you'll see. They're unbelievable stuff.
Admit it, you just wanted to do a brewery so you could do your own band
So
collaborations.
it's true. We are planning to do a lot of that. But yeah, no, that's not the only reason, but it is definitely a plus.
It's the yeah. You're like only half of our brews are band
Right?
collaborations.
Right?
All
I
right,
won't tell you
that's
that I
I
have
gotta come
already
try
talked
all
to
that.
bands about it.
I bet you started talking to them before you even had the brewery idea. Like, dude, we should.
There's definitely been
That's what I need.
conversation, but yeah.
I definitely have to come try all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be killer. Our goal ultimately is for Radbrot to open a couple locations. Like we want to go within 30 minutes drive from where the first location is so that staff can like jump if we need to. If we run into a bind, an owner can get there, you know, quickly. Like it's not like let's open our next location in Vegas, you know.
Not yet.
Yeah, so we're looking right now at like we want to go 30 minutes north, like Huntington Beach, Costa Mesa, somewhere in there. We're also looking south, like Carlsbad, Oceanside, that kind of area, to potentially go down. And you know, the model is like 18 guest beers and then 10 of our own from like Rad Beer. So it's like our own semi brew pub with our own beers, plus the guest beers and the crazy menu and punk rock music.
Dude, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Let me know. I'll come cook something for you, whatever.
Or let us cook for you. We could do that too.
Both. I'll eat all of it, and we'll have a good time, and then do some pairings and stuff. So, how's the jukebox? So, what's the music situation like?
So I put together like seven playlists that are like between 12 and 14 hours long, each playlist. And
Okay.
they're all curated by me personally, to make sure that they like kind of fit what I want the vibe of the space to be.
Okay.
So it's, you know, a lot of punk rock music as you'd imagine. But you know, there's some like Beastie Boys mixed in and some, you know, some fun stuff like that, some Cure and stuff like I said that kind of like was influential to me, but it's definitely got kind of like a
They're
late
punk.
80s to
Beastie Boys are punk.
90s
Yeah.
like punk rock vibe. It's good.
Are there any new, like newer punk rock bands that are catching your ear, or is it all like the older
Oh,
bands that are still
there's
doing
some great
music?
stuff out there.
Give me two.
Huh?
Tell me two. Tell me about two of them.
Get Dead rips.
Yes.
And
Yes.
like they're not that new, but like their new record is phenomenal. Like
I agree.
phenomenal.
It made it to the top of the list on a lot of charts on the, end of the year list kind of thing.
It did, huh? Somebody was telling me that like it won some awards
It
for
did.
best new album. I don't know what it won on, but like what is it?
I mean, in the punk rock
Yeah.
realm.
Was there like a punk rock music awards that I wasn't aware of?
Not necessarily anything huge like the Grammys, but like, among conversation circles and people who do end of year music lists and charts and all that kind of stuff, Get Dead was on there
Yeah.
for sure.
I'm like super stoked on stuff coming out of Australia personally. I don't know if you've been like paying attention, but like I feel like the best punk coming out right now, the newer stuff is coming out of Australia. Like the Chats, Emil and the Sniffers. I don't know. I think the Gogues are Australian too, I think, right? Anyway, they're
I have not heard of the Gogues, or I haven't heard them. I
the
mean,
Spits.
the Spits I
They're
have, yeah.
Australian, right?
So, yeah, they have a lot of good bands down there that don't get enough attention.
Yeah, I think the Chats are Australian. I can't remember. But anyway, like Australia, man, they got some good stuff coming out of there.
Let's go.
Yeah, I would love. I actually got asked to come down and do a festival in Australia and like put something
Bet
together.
you did.
But then 2020 happened, and there you go.
Right.
But we've talked about taking Punk and Drublic there too, so it'll happen eventually. Everything's kind of delayed
Yeah.
another like year, but that's one I would
Well,
definitely.
that gives you time to focus on the restaurant and the brewery.
For sure. For sure.
So
You better
that's a really
diversify.
huge bright side. I think, there can be bright sides to some of this stuff. That's, you know,
there totally is. If this pandemic didn't happen, there's no way in hell that this restaurant would be open. Maybe the restaurant, but definitely not the brewery. Like, I wouldn't be opening the brewery. I wouldn't have the restaurant because I'd be so slammed. You know,
Well, also the guy wouldn't have sold his brewery.
He wouldn't have sold his brewery. I mean, gosh, we're all over the place. But like, the original plan was to open a live music venue that had a brewery in it. That's what we were originally doing. Okay. We had a lease signed, everything back last year. Deposits in, had the keys, architects in there. It was a 25,000 square foot spot. Like, we're going to do a 600-700 room cap, like restaurant, brewery, everything. And then the guy pulled out on us, and we totally could have sued him and got our deal because we had a signed lease. But he got somebody that didn't get any of the TI money that he had promised us. And so he ended up pulling, yada, 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 passed forward. It's the best thing that ever happened to us, because if we were sitting on a 25,000 square foot building right now that we can't open, we'd be screwed. So it worked out for us, exactly. But eventually that's my goal.
Now it's time for quickfire Q&A, word association. First thing that comes to your mind. Here we go.
Whiskey or scotch?
Oof. I'm going to say bourbon.
Okay, nice. My next question was coffee or tea.
Oh, coffee, so, for sure.
Yeah, good, good. And then lager or IPA?
Oh, that's hard.
I know. I asked the tough question.
Today, I would say lager. I probably drink 50-50, but I'm definitely going way more into like the Pilsners these days.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that could be somewhat of either a sign of maturation, or we're just, sometimes you get tired of IPAs.
Well, we're seeing it now that I have data on my restaurant. Like,
I'm not crapping on anybody. I'm just saying, like, I have so many IPAs to choose from just right around, you know, just within arm's reach, you know, but sometimes I got to have my Tecate or, you know, or Pumpkin Drublic or, you know.
For sure. Trumer is one of our number one sellers. And in the month of December, our number one selling beer was Artifexican. We had.
That is so good.
It's so good. Artifex Mexican Lager and then Trumer, like out of Berkeley. Like, those are our top two. And then obviously goes IPA, 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 IPA. But like,
it's right. Yeah. They're always a close second. Yeah. Okay. Ready for a real mind stumper here. Is Bad Religion or Pennywise?
It's not hard for me, other than if I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but Bad Religion
by a long shot.
Oh, Bad Religion. I love the Pennywise guys. They're friends, but better, like, the greatest
one. Sure. I mean, I don't think you would hurt anyone's feelings in Pennywise. They'd probably agree with you. Yeah. I mean, you know, let's be honest, they're the dude's got a PhD, whatever. So, you know,
right.
And then lastly, I was going to say Vans or Converse. Yeah. I got them on right now. So I was just looking down at that, but
I own is Vans. I actually was just telling my son a story the other day that I always wore Vans my whole life until that movie Thrashing came out. And in the movie that guy, Corey, he had Converse, and I was like, okay, now I want Converse. And then like I wore them like for like a year, and then I went back to Vans.
I just can't, I don't really do the Converse All-Stars as much. I mean, me personally, I just feel like it doesn't look good on my foot. I don't know. Maybe I'm just vain about that, but anyways. What's like your favorite thing to eat right now?
Favorite thing to eat? Tacos.
Yes,
I gotta say tacos. It's always tacos.
Do you have a brat?
I love tacos. Okay. I don't. I'll tell you later of another concept I want to open that's absolutely amazing. You're gonna love it. But anyway, no tacos on the menu. But like, given the choice of what will I eat, will be like tacos. I like burritos too, but like, I don't know, man. Like.
Amen. Tacos. I love it. Yes,
exactly. I like tacos.
It's just
tacos or sushi. Those are my two things.
So we were just kind of talking about this before the conversation. I need to come on your boat and do some fresh sushi and tacos. You know, like, we just need to make it happen, because I love that. like just taking the fish and making it eating right away, you know, nothing better.
So the only rule is you're not supposed to eat seafood on the boat. So you got to eat it okay. when you get back to land. Then sure. you eat seafood. There's little rules, man. No bananas on the boat. No seafood on the boat. Shellfish, crustaceans, you can do. But you can't eat fish while you're fishing.
Okay. That's is that the fisherman's lore? Got it.
That's the deal. And every fisherman will tell you gotcha. That.
Well, I can adhere to that. It'll still be pretty fresh.
Absolutely. Go out, get some bluefin, some yellowtail, bring it back, cut it up.
So you're going out and catching seasonal stuff right now?
I'm not catching much. It's not my okay. boat. It's my buddy Jeff. We're actually like talking about doing, I told you, like we're talking about doing like a fishing show, like just for fun with like yeah. various bands and stuff. But yeah, like right now the fishing sucks out here. Like we've been going out for halibut. We went out for swordfish like a few weeks ago.
So you have a pretty big boat.
And finally, like, okay. yeah, it's 35 foot okay. Topaz Express, you know, dual engine, diesel, Caterpillar, like. No, it's yeah, it's a dope boat. It's a fishing boat. Like it's that is yeah. what it's for.
As soon as you said halibut and swordfish, I was like, oh, okay. They're not just going out in the lake.
No, definitely not. But yeah, I mean, I've been out 3 times for halibut in the last like month and haven't caught a damn fish. We caught a sculpin on accident last
week. Oh, sweet little rockfish.
4 days ago.
Sweet little sculpy.
Yeah. But we did catch a 252-pound, 11-foot-long swordfish about a month ago, which was pretty That's incredible.
Awesome. All right, fam. That concludes an episode of The Family Cast. Find us on Instagram at The Family Cast, TheFamilyCast. Give us a rating, a review, a subscribe, wherever you're listening. Go ahead and tell a friend. It all helps get the word out. If I need to be interviewing somebody or having a conversation with somebody that I don't know yet, give me a DM on our Instagram page and I'll try to make it happen. Let's get together, have some conversations about food, drink, music. We'll pair it all together and have a good time. Until then, say hi to your loved ones. I'm sure they miss you. And stay healthy, wealthy, and wise. At least one of three, right? All right. See you next time. Salud.
Okay, everybody. Amigos y familia. There you go. My conversation with Mr. Cameron Collins. Bow, bow, bow. Yep. I hope you learned a lot. I hope you learned a little. I hope you learned something. If not, go back and listen again. This was a recast, not super new, but super relevant because of what just went on. If you didn't catch it, it's because NoFX played their last show in San Diego, and that's why I'm doing this. So thanks for listening. If you're not a fan of NoFX, that's okay. That's all right. You don't have to be. They do have a lot of good songs you should check out. I'm going to play one that's 20 minutes long called The Decline here. Just kidding. Check it out, though. If you do get a chance, you should listen to The Decline by NoFX sometime because they even have a fully orchestral version that they did live. So it's a long song. It's almost like an EP length of one song, though. But it's really cool. I'm not going to play that here because I want you to check it out. I want you to listen to it with headphones on maybe or a good speaker system. Check it out. Yeah. So, but I am going to play some songs and I'm going to play three after I'm done talking, just because, they obviously have hundreds and hundreds of songs to choose from. NoFX. They got stuff from before I was even into music, into punk rock music. They started a long time ago, like in the 80s with like Bad Religion, after Bad Religion started maybe even. So, not too keen on that. I don't know too much about that. I have some of the records from the olden days, but they might have stuff from before that. And they weren't that good. They were not that good, to be honest, but they still had some good ideas in the songs. And so, but the songs I'm going to play are songs from the older versions of the catalog, like mid-90s. And that's because they do have good ones on the newer stuff, but you can check that out for yourself. You know, I could be wrong. Don't call me wrong. Don't call me wrong. If you know what I'm saying, but I'm going to play some stuff from the 90s. Cause that's when I was really getting into them. That's all. And, but also, you know, don't call me right. Don't call me right. It's a NoFX joke. Everybody shut up. Anyways, yeah. So yeah, it's been a long run. I was happy to see them when I saw them. They'll always mean something special to me. I was gonna do like one of those deep dives, like I did with Bad Religion and Rancid and stuff like that, or like a playlist thing. But I don't know. It just didn't seem like I needed to do that with NOFX because the songs kind of speak of themselves. Fat Mike has his own podcast and he's on a lot of other shows and all the musicians in the band are doing their own thing now. Check him out. Like the drummer Smelly, he does he shapes surfboards and he does motocross, and then Melvin's still playing music, the guitar player, and he lives in San Diego actually, low key. But he's good friends with Cameron too, of course, because they're homies now. Once you start promoting the band that long, you become homies, I guess, right? So sure. And then, of course, El Jefe owns Cybertracks, this record label, with his wife, and they signed bands like Urethane and Unwritten Law and a couple of other punk bands. So check all their stuff out. Not that NOFX needs more promotion from just little old me, but you're going to listen to music. We're going to start with Shower Days from the album Ribbed. And this is before they had El Jefe, I believe. Yeah. This was before they had El Jefe on guitar. But it's a really cool song. We used to listen to it all the time on tour because we could relate to Shower Days, okay? And if you hear it in these songs, you'll hear riffs that were inspiring to my band, Dogwood, and a bunch of other punk bands, obviously. The Epitaph roster, the Fat Records roster, any of the punk bands that were doing skate punk, surf punk, all that kind of stuff, snowboarding videos, probably tried to sound like NOFX at one point or another in their musical career, and they cannot deny it, whether it was the drums or the way they played guitars together or the melodies or the harmonies or the octave slides or the bass playing or the snarly vocals or anything like that. A lot of it came from NOFX, so respect is due. Respect is due. Slap some respect on that name. And then I'm going to play Sold Out. Not Sold Out. Soul Doubt. That's from the album White Trash, Two Heebs and a Bean. Yes, mildly offensive title for a record, but hey, they were just talking about themselves, so what can you do? Because there are people in the band that are of those categories. Anyways, I think it's the first track on the record. Yeah, Sold Out. I really like it. It was one of the first ones that I had on played in cassette very loudly in my friends' cars in high school and after. And it was just I really like the riff. I really like the lyrics. I copied them one time in my journal and wrote whole new lyrics to the song based on the melody. Never recorded it, but I just thought it would be cool to sound like that. So I did it for myself. It's one of my secrets. And so Sold Out. And then we'll end with a live recording of Lori Myers, which is from their awesome album 1994's Punk and Droblick. If you want to hear me talking more about that album in particular, I was on Talking Records podcast talking specifically about Punk and Droblick with my man Jed. And we broke down all the songs and what they mean and lyrics and all that kind of stuff. So I won't get too into it here, but Lori Myers is one of my favorite, probably is my favorite song on Punk and Droblick. So I'm going to give you the live version from NOFX's record. I heard they still suck live. Is that what it is? Yeah, still suck. Yeah, 2007, I believe. But Lori Myers is obviously from 1994. So here's the live version of that. Okay, so yeah, we're going to go from an older song all the way through to that newer one, even though it's still from 1994 or 2007. So anyways, I'm Chef Josh. This is the Family Cast, where food and music is life. Yes, and on this particular episode, music is life. Music is a big part of my life. Always has been, always will be. I want to pass that down to my kids and to you, my friends, amigos y familia, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between. It's been real. New episodes coming up soon. Stay in touch. We'll talk soon. Okay, everybody, come to the kitchen for lunch. And here's some music. Ciao, ciao.
up to. No one I wanna talk to. Nothing I wanna think about. I got so down. I stick my head out of the window when it's closed. Instead of air, I get glass stuck into my head. The city's sounding, I can't seem to start the pounding. Can't keep my thoughts from flying round. Can't keep my thoughts from flying round. Not sure what I'm thinking about. I got sold out. A shameless display, wearing a smile full of pain. A frameless air tank, a painting without a signature. She's waiting for someone to save her. As I pass her by, I see Cinderella. She doesn't fit into the slipper. Once she fits in a bottle of liquor, there's no one to take her away. Her eyes being mine, she sees right through me. The question is, what's gonna do for me? I don't need nothing, just a connection. I gotta know what she's all about. Cause I know she's been there, so down. What they think about, they got sold out.
Start her own band.
I've been demoted.